Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. This hockey season, you can view over 70 vehicles in their warm showroom. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the airport.
It's Pinder and Steinberg live from our Basement Systems downtown studio. And now the radio voice of the Calgary Flames, Derek Wills, joins us to complete our Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable. Well, guys, it feels like ages ago, especially with how the schedule has gone so far. It seems like there's always a game to talk about in the last 24 hours. But feels like ages ago. What do we take away, Mr. Wills, from Saturday's 3-2 overtime loss against the St. Louis Blues?
Well, first of all, I'll start with the opponent. I mean, I've got to tip my cap to the Blues because for 50 minutes, they played pretty much a perfect road game. They gave the Flames next to nothing, and they did it by putting pucks in the right spot and spending all kinds of time in the offensive zone, barely had to defend at all. It was an absolute clinic. But then the Flames scored a goal just past the midway mark of the third period. And then instead of being on their heels, they were on their toes. And they put the Blues back on their heels. And that's the kind of hockey the Flames have to play to be successful. What I love about the Blues is that they're a blend team. So they've got speed and skill, but they're also heavy. And I think that's one of the big reasons why they won the Stanley Cup. Their game translates going from the regular season to the postseason. And I think the Flames are trying to become a team like that. They had tremendous success, 50 wins and 107 points last regular season. Now, I don't think they played their brand of hockey come the postseason, so that was part of the problem. But we're also left wondering if they're a team that's built for the Stanley Cup playoffs. I think if they play their speed game, they can be. But I also think you have to have a bit of that blend and be able to play heavy at times, or at least heavy with some lines and pairings. And I think the Flames did that, just didn't do it for long enough on Saturday night.
How about the season Matthew Tkachuk's having with goals in large moments? His 10th of the season at 10:59 of the third period, even strength, got them within one. They then a goal away from tying it, which they did. Of Tkachuk's 10 goals, Patty, 8 have come in the third or in overtime. He has been Mr. Big Moment early on this season for the Flames. You just have to wonder, what would this team look like if the top line had been looking like a top line for the first 20 games of the year?
My biggest takeaway is just the fact that, you know what, that's an elite team over there in St. Louis. Let's not forget, Wilsey, and I don't disagree with anything you said about the Blues, and let's not forget they did that without Tarasenko and without Steen, and that makes it even more impressive. So I guess what I took away from that is, okay, that's an elite team on the other side. I didn't think the Flames played poorly on Saturday at all. I just didn't think they were at the same level for most of the game as St. Louis. Even though the gap wasn't major, I still thought St. Louis was the better team. And that's an elite team that knows how to win, that's playing high-level hockey in the first quarter of the season. The Flames want to get to being an elite team and playing an elite brand of hockey. They have not done that through the first quarter of the season. That would be my final takeaway and maybe an eye-opener or a potential learning experience for the Flames in playing that game against the Blues.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think the Flames were right there. At least they were on the scoreboard. I mean, they were down 2-0 after two, not a great spot to be in, but with the way they've been able to battle back in third periods this season, if you're going to take any team going into the third period that's down a goal or two, the Flames would probably be that team if they've come back to win three times already this season when trailing following 40 minutes. But, you know, for me, one of the big differences between the two teams on Saturday night, I thought the Blues' best players were their best players. And I thought it was another tough night for some of the Flames' top players, Johnny Gaudreau specifically. And I think it's only a matter of time before he finds his game again. And I think what's happening right now is that teams have adjusted and are defending him differently. And now he's going to have to do what he's done a number of times in his career. And that's make an adjustment on his own to kind of counter what teams are doing to defend him. So once Johnny Gaudreau gets going, I think that top line gets going. And maybe you're not down 2-0 going to the third period and you find a way to win that game on Saturday night. But all in all, the Blues are a really good team, well-built, and a team good enough to get by without Vladimir Tarasenko, at least for the time being.
Yeah, the other thing we should probably note, they are finished 2-for-4 in the power play, do the Blues. And, and that was an area where if you already know you're up against one of the elite opponents in the league, to take 5 penalties to their 3, it's not the worst thing ever, but boy, it can certainly hurt you. And it sure did in the box score when those 3 goals come on power plays.
Really, though, the Flames were due to give up some power play goals on home ice. You know what's crazy is prior to Saturday, they had surrendered one power play goal at Scotiabank Saddledome this season. Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, it really is, and you're probably right. I mean, eventually that's going to break, but yeah, by and large, penalty killing has been a big time strength.
Let them score, it'll get that out of the way, and then you can get on another hot run. Exactly. Seriously.
He's Derek Wills. He's Ryan Pinder. My name is Pat Steinberg. A little bit more on Johnny Gaudreau coming up at around 4:30 on some of the struggles that we've seen from him to start this year. Guys, the Flames are essentially a quarter of the way through the season. I think technically the quarter mark happens at some point in the first period or second period of tomorrow's game against the Dallas Stars, but yeah, you can't really delve into a quarter mark look at that point of a game. So instead, we'll do it today. It's crazy to believe that we're already a quarter of the way through this season for the Flames, but we'll go this way first. Through 20, Mr. Wills, what is your biggest positive? What is the biggest good thing that you've seen from the Flames through 20 games this season?
David Rittich, period. I mean, I went into the season hoping he could be the guy. And I know that a lot of Flames fans were feeling that way. And some probably believe that he was the guy. But I need to see it with my own two eyes. And I need to see it for an entire season. Now, we're not going to get to that point until April. But in the first 20 games, for me, he has been their most valuable player. I didn't think he was going to get this much work. And I think one of the reasons why the Flames coaching staff has decided to give David Rittich all of these starts, most in the National Hockey League, is because they're trying to build Cam Talbot back up after what was a tough season for him. And they don't want to throw him out there to the Lions. They don't want to put him out there behind a team that isn't playing their A game on a regular basis. And the Flames are still trying to become that team 20 games into the season. But David Rittich's been the one stable guy, with the exception of one or maybe even two games. He's been brilliant. He's kept them in games. He's stolen games. And all I want from a team's goaltender, give me a chance to win. And David Rittich has done that almost every single night. So for me, he's been the biggest positive early in the year.
Yep, I'd agree. And I think Pat and I are probably more on the bullish side this offseason, talking about his skill set, his capabilities. You look at his numbers up until the injury last year, December 31st. They're excellent. They're superb. He's made strides every year of his career. But this workload, leading the league in volume categories and posting the numbers he's doing in front of a team that really hasn't been that good at, you know, preventing grade A chances for other clubs, he's been great. Honorable mentions maybe Patty to Elias Lindholm, especially given how his line mates have been going. He's been incredibly productive, and I've been impressed with Hanifin on the back end for areas that I thought maybe I wouldn't, in the sense that we all thought, you know, feet and there's some offense, but he's had some nights where he's been a really good defender more often than not, I think, this year.
For me, the number one on the power rankings of positives was goaltending, no doubt about it. And I look, as bullish as I was on David Rittich, I don't think I would have told you that I would have foreseen 16 of 20 in terms of starts. I don't know if I would have foreseen him being the busiest goaltender in terms of starts and minutes played, and also be the guy who's seen the most shots and made the most saves. I don't know if I would have foreseen that. So that's definitely number one. But number two, and close behind, is what we've seen from Elias Lindholm. And it goes beyond just the fact that he scored a bunch of goals. It goes beyond the fact that he's been the best player on that top line. I also think the fact that we got a very small glimpse, and it's been very small, but a very small glimpse of him as this team's number one center, that's also a massive positive for me going forward, because whether or not they go this way or not this year, it gives you a little bit of an idea that maybe if Monahan doesn't end up working out as that number one guy that you'd like him to be, well, maybe you've got another guy in Lindholm that you can try, whether it's in this year's postseason, whether it's in October of next year, whenever it might be. Even the two games that we've seen of Lindholm as a full-time center is a really big positive to me. So that would be my number two on the power rankings, because for sure, number one is what we've seen from Calgary goaltending, and specifically David Rittich.
Yeah, and I'm actually in the process of writing my latest Flames thoughts for Sportsnet.ca, and one of my topics is who is the Flames quarter season MVP? And I guess I'm letting the cat out of the bag. Less of a reason for people to read, but since we're talking about
just tease it. Tell us who it is, but don't tell us of the reason why.
I'm going to give you my three finalists.
Okay.
So my three finalists are David Rittich, Elias Lindholm, and Ryan, you talked about him earlier, Matthew Tkachuk. He's been Mr. Clutch for the Flames this season. Do I think that he has been as consistently good as Elias Lindholm? No, I don't. but he's also scored big goals when his team needed him to. So I'm making as strong a case as I can for all three guys, and then I'll pick a winner, and we're going to have a poll, and we'll let the fans get involved. But, you know, it's been a ton of fun to watch all three of those guys this season. The one thing about David Rittich, I need to see it for a whole season. Certainly the potential is there for him to be this team's long-term solution in net, but just to throw a balanced argument out there, if you look at the last 2 years, he faded away a little bit in the second half of the season. Now, I think he put in the work during the offseason that should help him avoid going in that direction again this season. I think he's in a better place mentally and physically than he's ever been. But if you're going to be a legitimate number one goaltender, even an elite goaltender in this league, which I think he has the potential to be, you got to do it for the whole year. So let's see.
He's Derek Wills. He's Ryan Pinder. My name is Pat Steinberg. This is your daily Calgary Flames roundtable. On the other side, through 20 games, one quarter of the season, what's the biggest negative takeaway for you?
Oh, that's a tough one. I would say from a team perspective, consistency or lack thereof. I mean, the Flames have really, as a group, been fighting to find their A game on a regular basis. We've seen it at spurts in games. We've seen it in some games from start to finish. Really like them. For example, against the Devils last Thursday night, but as we pointed out a few times since then, you do have to take your opponent into consideration. So there have been, I don't know, three or four games where I think the Flames have played a pretty complete game from top to bottom, from start to finish, but we're talking three or four games out of 20. So for me, guys, the most disappointing part of the first 20 games has been the team's lack of consistency.
I'll say that's a top duo of Monahan and Gaudreau, Patty. They're just not what they've been, and they currently sit third and fourth in team scoring. If you went back since that duo was put together, to see those two third and fourth just doesn't feel right, doesn't look right. In fact, to see them not one and two in terms of production over the course of a season would feel weird for that duo. So, I'll say that. I don't think it's something that we have to worry about the whole year, but that's been relatively, the most disappointing thing, because it just felt like money in the bank to say Monahan was going to get 30 and Gaudreau would just easily be a point per game player. That hasn't been the case thus far.
And the only other one that I'll throw out there, and this, I've been thinking about this a lot. Last year, one of the biggest strengths of the Flames was what we saw from them on their blue line. And there was a Norris Trophy winner. There was an interchangeable part with that Norris Trophy winner. You could go Brody there. You could go Anderson there. You had this glue second pairing in Hanifin and Hamonic that had Hamonic not gotten injured early in the year. We might have been talking about that being the most consistent pairing in terms of minutes played together in the NHL. That's how much they played together when everybody was healthy. Rasmus Anderson took huge steps forward. Juuso Välimäki and Oliver Shillington established themselves as NHL options. Like, the blue line was something that you could count on last year, and I just don't feel the same way this year. And we've seen that with some switches. We've seen Hanifin and Hamonic broken up, which I don't know if I would have anticipated. Mark Giordano has not been at the same level through 20 games this year as he was for virtually every game last year. I feel like Hamonic has fought it more often than not. Brody has been fighting it. So I don't feel like Calgary's back end through the first quarter of the season has been as reliable as it was last year. I believe it can get back there, but through 20 games, all we're going on is what we've seen. That's been maybe a little bit of a disappointment for me, knowing just how cut and dried a positive it was for them throughout the regular season last year.
Yeah, I think you guys both make excellent points. But last week I asked both Bill Peters and Mark Giordano if they thought this early season adversity could actually be a blessing in disguise. And both guys said yes, and I agree. And, you know, it's funny, after the Flames got eliminated by the Avalanche last year, we wondered about potentially, you know, if they had tried some different combinations in the regular season to figure out if they would have been options come the postseason. If you run into, you know, a team like the Avalanche and you just don't have any answers, well, guess what they're doing right now? They're trying some different options. And the reason they're trying different options on their top line with a Lindholm at center, with Monahan on the second line and mixing up the defense pairings, is because they're facing some adversity and they're looking for ways to get out of it. Last season, everything came way too easy for this team. That's why they left their lines together. They left their pairings together, because why change them? They won 50 games and had 107 points and finished second overall. Well, things aren't coming so easy this year. So now they're trying some things And should they run into adversity, whether it be during the regular season or if they get there, the postseason, well, they've got some different options, some different things they can try to change things up, to switch just the momentum of the series or the feel in the dressing room, whatever it happens to be. So it's been a tough stretch, I know, for the Flames and their fans, but at the end of the day, it could actually make these guys better in the long run.
Should be a fun game tomorrow for the first time seemingly all season. It will be a very well-rested Flames team against the Dallas Stars. Saturday to Wednesday is how the schedule has gone most recently for them. And note the start time tomorrow, 7:30, Flames and the Stars. Willsie, we will see you down there for morning skate tomorrow, pal. Thank you so much.
Okay, guys. Have a good night.